Why are you running for the state Senate?
Well, 53 years of age, and I've raised three daughters who are 25, 22, and 18, and I just see the opportunities that lie ahead of them being squandered by our state leaders. We are just tremendously over our heads in debt in this state. There's not an area you can turn to that isn't getting paid or is backlogged for their payment. It's terrible. And I don't like to see that for our state. We have a rich heritage here in Illinois. We are the land of Lincoln. If you look through the history books, Lincoln is usually, any of the books now that rate presidents, they rate Lincoln as number one of the best presidents of all time. It's sad to see what's happening to the state of Illinois. We lag behind all of our neighboring states in our job creation, our job growth here. And we seem to want to tax more in order to try to create revenue when we probably should be curtailing our taxes and making the environment for business a little bit more vivid and lively so that they want to invest and expand. So there's just so many things that I think my background coming from growing up on a farm here in Adams County, right in the center of Adams County in the 47th District, and going to Western Illinois University and working in retail, having a retail business that I founded and ran for 20 years, and now having been involved with small government at the county level as being elected circuit court clerk for the past two terms. And my term ends there in November, at the end of November, and I would certainly like to take some of the skills and the talents that I've created and learned over the years to Springfield to help the problem out with the state.
What's something you learned in your current job that you think would apply in Springfield?
Well, here's something that I performed in practice in my job that I probably learned much earlier than that, and probably back in the times of actually attending Western Illinois University. And that is, when you have a budget and you're coming down to the end of your fiscal year, it is not imperative that you spend every dollar in your budget so that you get budgeted, your appropriations will be the same or more the next year. You can actually do your job with less money than what's budgeted and turn it back in. That seems to be a foreign idea to a lot of people and a lot of people in this state. And I certainly learned that at the circuit clerk level. Six of the 7 years that I've completed, we've been under budget in our office. And because our office has different methods and different vehicles for earning, people who access the court pay certain fees to funds, I've been able to turn some of those funds back over to the county to help fund my office so that today, 7.5 years after I've taken office of circuit clerk, it costs an extra $1,000 to $2,000 more than it did 7.5 years ago to run my office. So those are the kinds of things, the fiscal responsibility that I practice and that I would like to see Illinois pay a little bit closer attention to.
You mentioned job creation a little bit earlier. What could you as a state senator do to create more jobs in this district and across Illinois?
Yes, there's no shortage in politicians who would get on the radio or on television and say, I'm going to be a job creator. I'm going to get out there and create jobs. I know I got the way. Well, I don't pretend to in a government position to be a job creator. I'm a job facilitator. We need to facilitate the overall environment in the state of Illinois to the point where businesses want to invest and want to grow and want to expand. And right now, we're not seeing that. I mean, you only have to look as far as very recently, Caterpillar was looking to build a new plant, and one of the places they were looking and one of the places that was courting them was Galesburg on the corner of my district. And Galesburg thought they had a lot to offer. And Caterpillar said to Illinois, no, thank you. The business environment is not good for us to invest any further in Illinois. Caterpillar has quite an investment in Illinois, and they maintain that investment. But they're not growing their investment in Illinois. Instead, they went to Georgia. And when asked, the CEO said, "It's too the environment, the business environment in Illinois is just too much up in the air. The leaders aren't doing the job. Your debt load is so high. Your bond ratings have been decreased. so many times. You're the lowest bond rated state in the United States. Cost us more money than to borrow. We need to create a more stable environment. We're chasing too many businesses and too much business out of this state. And Governor Mitch Daniels in Indiana is just saying, hey, that's all right, Illinois, go ahead. Raise your taxes. Be unfriendly to business. We're right over here. Come over and see us. And I think you've seen Indiana grow because of that. And it, certainly all of our bordering states have issues. Illinois seems to have a big issue with trying to grow business in our state.
Well, can you name one or two things you think should be done differently that could help with job creation and growing business?
Certainly. We need a significant workman's comp reform. When it costs you 2 to 3 times what it does in neighboring states, why would a business want to invest in Illinois when workman's comp is that high? Tax rates are fluctuating. They're talking now about doing that even more so with a graduated tax. The tax question is certainly up in the air. Tort reform. Illinois is lags behind other states in that. We need to have limits. And in going back to the workman's comp, we need to have significant work on that legislation. And from what I've seen and what they've given is a little bit of lip service and just very little changes. And then when they vote on it, my opponent voted present the last piece of legislation that had something to do with any kind of significant workman's comp reform, which would have been wonderful for business if we could have passed some kind of significant reform. But they don't have the will to do it in Illinois.
Well, what would you like to see as far as changes to the worker comp system?
Well, causation. Causation is probably the number one thing that we need to be looking at. We need to know that if an injury does happen, it happens within the realm of working for that individual and not at home on a weekend raking leaves. Employer needs that, and the employer deserves that. And that, along with other significant reforms that will just reduce the costs. I think we need to look at and use as a model our neighboring states that hold their workers' comp reform rates so much lower than Illinois does.
Let's talk a bit about education, specifically higher education here at Western Illinois University. What do you think you as a state senator could do to help Western?
Well, again, I already have mentioned and we'll mention again, not only am I a graduate, 1981 graduate of Western Illinois University, but my wife is as well, a 1983 graduate. I was happy to wear the purple in marching in the parade here just a couple weekends ago in the homecoming parade, and was happy to have State Senator Kirk Dillard, who is also an alum, walk along with me in support of my campaign. And I was in several meetings with Senator Dillard during that weekend. And one of the things that came out of that is there was a conversation that we had regarding infrastructure needs with the university. And the figure that came out was there's about a backlog of about $50 million worth of infrastructure needs that this university has. Now, higher education in Illinois has been on the back burner because of all these other financial issues. We need to make it more of a priority. I certainly would like to see it. I'm very proud of the heritage that and my background of being a graduate of Western Illinois University. I want to see a strong state university here in Macomb, Illinois.
Performing Arts Center, do you think that's a wise investment of state dollars to build a Performing Arts Center on the Macomb campus?
Yeah, as I look back at the history of the and trying to follow that through, I believe there was at that time, State Senator Laura Kent Donahue and Representative Rich Myers, who went to Governor George Ryan to institute that and instigate it and to get the ball rolling. And my understanding is that there's promises made, but I haven't seen any steel put up yet for that. Certainly, there's all kinds of questions and all kinds of debate that you can have whether or not this is a good time in the state's with the state's fiscal position on whether or not to spend that kind of money on a performing arts. I tend to stand like this. My gut feeling is this. After being 20 years in business, what works best and what always worked best for me is when I entered into a contract with another individual or individuals, I kept my portion and expected them to keep their portion of the contract. I think if the money's pledged, we need to make sure that that money is rightfully spent here at Western Illinois University. You can't make promises and back out on them. We waste money in other areas that certainly needs to be looked at, and the spending for a performing arts center could certainly be promoted and gone forward with.
The legislature this year made some changes to the state's Medicaid system. What do you think of the measures that were passed?
Well, they had to do it. I mean, I applauded Governor Quinn at the time for saying, listen, this is not something we can just give lip service to. It's something that we have to do. And so they did. One of the cogs in there was the dollar a pack cigarette tax to offset some of the cost. I am never for items like that, those pinpointed taxation laws. That, again, affects our district here, the 47th district. I grew up, I live in Adams County, Hancock County, and Henderson County along the river. We just see people flocking across the river for their purchases, whether it be their gasoline purchases or now their cigarette purchases. And while they're over there, what else are they going to be purchasing? Bread, milk products. So we lose business. We chase business again. We chase business and businesses out of the state. And with these targeted tax increases like that, I'm not in favor of them and was not in favor of this one.
How would you fund reforms to the Medicaid system if you didn't have that type of tax?
Well, I think the reform needs to come from within. There are people that live outside of this state who are getting the Medicaid resources, and there are people who are perhaps not even citizens of the United States in Illinois that are getting them. We need to have some significant reform within the service itself, and we need to be able to this passive enrollment. We need to have a little bit stricter look at who's actually getting our dollars.
So it's perhaps a stronger auditing system of Medicaid.
Well, yes, and a good follow-up with finding out when there's people who are not qualified to be receiving the payments to actually follow up and make sure we get them off of the doles. We cannot continue down this path of just saying, "Oh, we're flush with money. Let's just take everybody in, and we'll just be nice. We'll just throw money everybody's direction." You can only help people from a position of strength, and Illinois is losing its position of strength because of its tremendous debt. So we have to clean that up. We have to have reform in that, right to the core of that whole system of Medicare, Medicaid.
And I think another system that people believe some reforms are needed to would be the pension system. What would you like to see done to change the state pension system in Illinois?
Well, certainly. I've had a lot of conversations with people, and certainly through the city of Macomb and McDonough County, because of the great influence of Western Illinois University on the workforce that's here. And everyone's concerned who's a member of that workforce with the pensions. And then there's the people on the other side, the people who are not employees, the state employees, who are taxpayers, who are concerned about how we're going to get out of this mess because of this tremendous backlog of debt that there is. And I'll go back to a story that I don't want to be redundant, but I just told the story about being in business for 20 years. And what works is when both sides commit to a contract that they adhere to the elements of the contract. Now, as I see it, this university professors and state university workers and state workers have been up to their obligations. They've submitted what they were asked. They paid in their share for their pension. And now we're doing a little backstepping in saying, well, maybe you're not going to be able to receive all of your pension because look at this. We've just got a tremendous backlog of debt. We need $146 billion in our system to be able to accrue money going forward. to pay our obligations. We don't have 146. We have around 63. Just I'm dropping the decimal points, but in round numbers, we have about 63. That leaves us with about an $83 billion underfunded pension, the worst of all the 50 states in the United States. Last year, we made a payment. Well, last year, this year of 2012, we made a payment of, I believe, $5.1 billion to the pension program. Well, 1.6 of that was actually the cost of the pension. The other 3.5 was because of the backlog of the debt and the interest on that backlog. And I've said numerous times, $1.6 billion is doable for the state of Illinois. It's roughly about 5% of our general budget. However, 5.1 every single year is not. That's when it gets to be 15 to 17%, and that's not. That's just not doable. And until we grow, if we had the liquid resources, like to say the liquidity of California with a state that's three times our population, yeah, then maybe those numbers work because the percentages start to fall in place. But we don't, and we're not seeing significant growth here in Illinois to create the revenue to offset it. So, again, with pensions, I think we need to meet our obligations to those people who have worked and served and have retired and were retiring on and expecting that pension. We need to obligate ourselves to them and to that payment. Going forward, I think there probably needs to be some adjustments made in the pension program. So if you're just entering the workforce, there's probably going to be some adjustments to be made. Otherwise, I'm not sure how we make up that $80 billion other than those other two key ingredients, which are job growth in the state of Illinois to increase our revenue, and we need to hold the line on waste and fraud in the state.
Do you think you can have sort of that two-tier system and be constitutional, not face a court challenge to that?
Fair question. I, not being an attorney, don't know if I have the background to answer that. Certainly everything that is going to be passed is going to be tested legally and constitutionally. So therefore, everything that's proposed should be formally checked out to make sure that it is constitutional. We don't want to – it serves us not to dream up a scheme that to get us out of the financial situation only to find out a year and a half later after a battle in the courts that it's not going to be legal. And we just wasted time and energy and resources in that effect. So let's make sure what we pass is going to be constitutional. And there are interests on all sides. My wife is a 16-year veteran of high school teaching. And so I understand it from my family's perspective. My mother-in-law is a retired teacher. I have a sister-in-law who's a retired teacher. I have another sister-in-law who's currently teaching, has about 20 years in. I understand the way they feel and what they are working for. And, you know, they're paying into the system as is requested of them and required of them. We need to be able to make sure that we fund the system so that that money is there when they retire.
Yeah, the state has been using the money it's supposed to put into the pension system and spending it on other needs. So if it's putting the money into the pension system, what other needs might need to take a hit?
Well, again, we can look at this. In 1995, when they did this RAMP program, there was supposed to be like a 50-year program to get our pensions back to an 80 to 90% funded. But what they didn't do at that time was to take these this expenditures for other services, citizens' services in the state of Illinois, out of it. And for 15 years after that effect, we continued not to fund the pension to the point where it grew and to three times the level of what it was in 1995. Our foresight has been terrible. Our leaders have not either had the foresight or been able to execute the plan, one or the other, but it's not working. Because here we sit today at less than, about 44, 45% funded pension. grossly underfunded. Again, the worst in the United States.
There are, I believe, 5 pension systems in the state. Can this be done piecemeal, or should any reforms be done to cover and cover all 5 of those systems?
Well, I certainly would like to see all 5 of them be taken care of at one time. They're all very, very important. However, I've come out and said that I would get rid of one of them, and that's the legislator's pension. I will not participate in a legislative pension, will not sign up for it, and will introduce legislation to just eliminate it and move it more to like what Rhode Island, say, for example, has done, and move it into more of a like a, the private side has 401ks, move it into that so that it's not a defined benefit at the end. There's a defined amount of money that's there for you at the end of your service to take with you.
For lawmakers specifically you're talking about.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, for lawmakers. And so that we get rid of one of the pension systems. Again, I won't participate in it. There's a number of legislators who have already made that decision there that are not participating in it. And I would imagine there's a lot of ones that are running out there, like myself this time, saying that, listen, it's a system that's so messed up. The best way to do it is for us not to participate in it so that we can sit down at the table to negotiate the rest of the pension systems without someone pointing the finger back and saying, well, look, he or she is just in there negotiating for more favorable pensions because it's going to affect them in a positive way. Again, will not take a pension, will not participate in the pension, and would be for getting rid of the pensions for legislators.
And I think, if you got rid of that General Assembly pension, what would be the savings?
What would be the you're talking about specific dollar amount savings?
Yeah.
I don't have those numbers. I'd be happy to get those numbers to you. But you know what? If it's a good program and it saves $1, it's worthy to go with, and it's going to save a lot more than $1.
Number one priority for you if you're elected, what would it be?
Well, it has to be jobs. We've got we have to create, again, getting back to that environment that business wants to invest in Illinois and wants to expand in Illinois. That's got to be priority, because with that, so many other things are fixed. With more employment comes more revenue. We don't have to raise the percentage rate of tax on anyone. We just need to have more people out there producing and paying into the system. So that's got to be a priority. We are lagging behind, as I said, all the other states that border us. We need to have significant work done on that behalf. Here in this 47th district, the 11 counties that make it up, we have quite a dichotomy here, because we have Brown County, who has the best employment of the 11, of all 102 counties in Illinois. That's like 5.1% unemployed. But then we go on the other end of the spectrum with, I believe it's Fulton County, is more like 10%, almost double the unemployment rate. So we've got our own issues here within the 47th district. We look at Brown County, and if people aren't familiar with that, where Dot Foods is located. So thank you very much, Dot Foods, for being a wonderful neighbor there and a friend to the 47th district. But we're chasing business away, like Ansel Hawkeye out of Beardstown had just announced that they were going to close and we were going to lose 51 jobs there. We lost the potential for a Caterpillar plant in Galesburg. Galesburg is also still reeling from the loss of the Maytag plant. And more recently, ADM closed a facility there in Galesburg. So we don't need to lose. In my own county, Adams County, where I grew up, we saw Prairie Farms move a division out. We're seeing Gardner Denver move divisions out and moving them to other states, not necessarily eliminating the division, but moving them out to other states. Again, first priority is going to be a friendlier business environment for the state of Illinois so that we can get workers back to work and so that graduates of Western Illinois University, when they leave this university, have a better chance of being placed into a job that they were educated for.
Is there a particular type of industry you'd like to bring to the 47th district?
Oh, I'm not prejudiced for or against any business. I am a capitalist and an entrepreneur at heart. I believe that people labor and that they should that the results should be the fruit of their labor. And I am all open. I would love to see more manufacturing come into our area. I think that's key. We need to attract more manufacturing into our area. Service industries as well. Bring it on. Let's grow. Let's work. Let's provide the services and get people employed, get people working, and be productive members of society.
Any thoughts on how to generate more revenue for the state outside of taxes? Are there other ideas? I know that the legislature passed a gambling bill this year. Is that something that was vetoed by the governor? Is that something you would have supported?
I don't necessarily see the great importance of the gambling bill. I don't think that's the magic wand that's going to save Illinois from itself with its spending. So, no, I would not have favored the expansion of the gambling. What was already here, we would have worked with. But no, again, I think the statement there to be made is that it's not going to be the bottom line solution to Illinois' problems. Again, business, small business, healthy business, hiring people, employing people is going to be the lifesaver of Illinois.
There have been some commercials either run by your campaign or on your behalf that portray your opponent as a Chicago Democrat. Do you concur with that thought?
Well, my statement has always been that a vote for my opponent is a vote for the Chicago Democrat machine, and it's basically handing over the keys to the Springfield State House to Chicago. For the last 10 years, in each of the five general assemblies, he has voted for a Chicago Democrat to be the leader of the Senate. First, it was Emil Jones. Now it's John Cullerton. If you look at the state of Illinois for these past 10 years, we have had the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, and the Governor of the state of Illinois, all three from the same political party and all three from the same hometown. And I don't think anyone's going to look at the track record created by those three in the last 10 years and say, yeah, we want some more of that. Bring on another 10 years of that. I don't feel that. I don't see that. I'm not hearing that from the people. And I think we definitely need a change. And first change would be right here in the 47th District.
Would you seek some sort of leadership position if you're elected?
No, sir. I wouldn't. I don't want to obligate myself to a specific leader. I don't want to be in a leadership position. Where I'm going to lead is I'm going to lead the people of the 47th District and be a spokesman for them. We need a spokesman that's going to sit down and negotiate contracts and write legislation for the state of Illinois that's going to be fiscally conservative so that we don't continue to drive ourselves down and continue to drive ourselves further and further in debt and just to get business picked back up again in this state.
What committees would you like to serve on?
Oh, I'd love to be on higher education. I'd love to be on agriculture. And I probably would like to, if they would be so inclined, to put me on with the budget. I'd like to work on budget.
Why should someone vote for you?
Well, again, going over my background and growing up here in West Central Illinois, and again, strong work ethic growing up on the farm, youngest of nine kids. I was involved in 4-H and FFA, knew I wanted to major in agriculture when I went to college and chose Western Illinois University to do that. Got out at a time, if anyone remembers back to that 1981, 1982, we had what was called in the United States the misery index. We had double-digit unemployment, double-digit inflation, double-digit interest rates. It was tough for a lot of folks. But there were still opportunities out there. I found one of those in when I started my business and ran for 20 years, and I learned a lot in those 20 years. There are good years and there are bad years. When there are bad years and revenue is down, you don't continue with the same kind of expenditure, and that's what the state of Illinois has done. Again, the leaders have not been long forward-looking. We need that in a leader. We need to be able to look forward and see where the Illinois strengths are and where our weaknesses are and where the bumps in the road are. We've hit bumps in the road, and they've continued at the level of spending that has just driven us to this point where we are the worst indebted state in the nation and, again, the worst bond ratings because of it. I would like to think that those experiences that I've learned in business, in small government, and on the small family farm would be very productive put to work in Springfield, Illinois.
If we cannot keep maintain at the same level of expenditures, would you try to reduce spending across the board with all agencies, or are there particular areas where you would want to look to reduce state spending overall?
Well, I don't think there's probably an agency within the state of Illinois that probably couldn't do with some kind of trimming back of the fat. I have not specifically looked at each and every agency in detail. I know that there are audits done every year and suggestions made. Those need to be looked at. I would say, again, I don't like to make blanket statements and say, yeah, we're going to cut this percentage right across the board. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's realistic. I think in some areas there's more cut needed, and in some areas we need to maintain. So, no, I'm not going to make the blanket statement that we need to just cut straight across the board. Some are just going to have to get cut more than others.
Are there any programs in particular you think the state could do without?
Well, yeah, there are several. There's the one that most immediately comes to mind that I was just – because I just was reading about it recently was the Grow Your Own Teacher program, which is reintroducing people from professions and private enterprise to a teaching profession. And the problem with it, it's a wonderful concept. The problem with it is the cost of doing it is just prohibitive. They have invested a lot of money into that program. And, gosh, I don't have the specific numbers, but it seems to me like it's costing them I even hesitate to say, too many dollars per each individual who's gone through the program to reintroduce that. Programs like that aren't producing don't need to be continued to be funded.
That should do it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. If I may just say, but part of our effort in running for this office has been at the grassroots, getting out and talking to, being in over 80 parades, and going to fall and town festivals, and being involved in social media. We've got a Facebook. I would certainly entertain and encourage people to look us up at electfreeze.com, check us out on Facebook, and if you'd like to stay up with where we stand on particular issues, we have Twitter feeds that can tell you exactly what we feel about things on a moment-to-moment basis. So,
all right. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you for the time.